Let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. I want to ask you a question here this morning, and you could just signify by raising your hand. How many of you like storms? Raise your hand. You like storms. Okay, good. You can put your hands down. We got a few people that like and enjoy storms. How many of you are afraid of storms? Raise your hand. Anybody that would say, I'm afraid of storms, I don't like them. All right, yes, you can put your hands down. Personally, I do like storms. Shortly after my wife and I moved back here, we were out on a walk, and it was cloudy. We don't really worry about it. I'm not afraid of storms. I enjoy storms. And so while we're out walking, the bottom fell out, and it just poured, and it was like buckets, and we were way too far away from home to run. Like, if you're close enough to the car, you're close enough to the house or whatever else, the store, you can run and kind of maybe lessen the amount of wet you get, but we're so far away, there's nothing we're going to do to be dry, so we just enjoyed it. We didn't turn around and go home. We had a lot of fun getting soaking wet. Felt like a little kid again. You know how kids love to go out and splash in the puddles and all this kind of stuff. And so we felt like that. It was an awesome experience. But I have been in some storms where I've been very afraid. I grew up here in Cedar Rapids. For those of you who don't know, I grew up here in Cedar Rapids. And I went to school down in Pensacola, Florida. And then I got a job right on the Gulf Coast in a place called Foley, Alabama. It's right above Gulf Shores, Alabama, right on the coast. And so I had finished up school at Pensacola and moved over to Foley to work at a church there. And it was right after we bought a house and moved, a news report came on and said, there's a hurricane coming. Hurricane Ivan was the storm. And I hadn't really been in a hurricane before. You know, up here we hear about tornadoes, and I don't know about you, but I don't go down in the basement. I'm not worried about a tornado. But I hear hurricane. I don't know anything about hurricanes. I didn't know how to get my house ready. I didn't know how to get everything prepared. And so what I did is I did everything I could do to get my house safe, and I packed up my wife, and we drove all the way back here to Iowa. Drove all the way home. I don't want any part of this storm. I don't want to be anywhere near it. And so as you look at the picture up here, you can see the eye of the storm came in at Gulf Shores, right where I live. That's where the eye of the storm came in. First year moving there. Within a few months of moving there. So this is in September. We moved and bought our house in May. So we hadn't been there very long. I was afraid. So I've been through. Luckily, our house was fine. We lost one shingle, I think. God was very good to us. The church didn't fare so well. The whole sanctuary came down in. And so it was a lot of problems that we had to deal with. But I've been through some literal storms in my life. But I've also been in some figurative storms in my life. And I know that you have as well. I've been fired from my job. There's been times in my life where I didn't know where my next meal was going to come from. There's been times where I struggled as I watched my wife and my children deal with health issues. There's been times where I've struggled in my inner being through transitions in my life. I've had friends that were close to me betray me and stab me in the back. So I've been through some storms that were very difficult for me to come through. And how many would you raise your hand and say, you know what, Pastor, I've been through some storms myself. I've been there. I've been through some storms. You put your hands down. How many of you would raise your hand and say, you know what, Pastor, please pray for me because I am going through a storm right now. Would you say a word of prayer for me? Anybody like that? Say, I'm going through a storm. All right, thank you for being honest. It can be a hard thing to raise your hand in a group like this to say, I'm struggling. I'm going through a storm. I do want to pray for you. Storms are a common part of life. And I don't know who said it, or I would give them the credit because I didn't say it, but somebody once said, we're either coming out of a storm, we're in a storm, or we're getting ready to go into a storm, because storms are an absolute part of life, unfortunately. And we all face them in our lives. We all have these difficult times. You know, maybe you're here this morning as a teenager and, you know, you're struggling to find your identity, you know, stressing over your future and college choices and all those things. And it kind of has you just in an inner turmoil, a storm that's going on. Maybe you're a college student in here this morning and you're drowning in debt. You're questioning whether or not you chose the right major and all the choices that go along with that. You know, maybe you're an older person in here and you're fretting over retirement, battling feelings of worthlessness and wondering if you've been forgotten. Maybe you're a single in here. You're overwhelmed and obsessed with trying to find the right one for you. Maybe you're married and dealing with some major relationship issues with your spouse. Maybe you're divorced and dealing with the fallout of that broken marriage. See, we all have storms. My storm might be different than yours, but we all face them. And no matter what the storm is that we're going through, it's always a very serious situation for each and every one of us. I never look down upon someone because they're upset, they're fretting, they're worried over whatever storm is going on in their life. Because although it may seem like a trivial thing for me, it's not a trivial thing for them. It's not a trivial thing for you, what you're going through. One of the great things that we find in Scripture is that even though we face these storms, we don't have to face them alone. Now, some of you in here, as you go through the storms of your life, you have to face them alone because you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have a relationship with Him. Now, here in Matthew chapter number 8, we read a story about Jesus' disciples, and they go through a storm. Now, they didn't go through the storm alone because they had a relationship with Jesus. And if you're here today, I can tell you one thing. You're either in a storm, you just got out of one, you're getting ready to go into another one, but you're going through it alone because you don't have Jesus. And that's a sad thing. Because He doesn't want you to go through that alone. In fact, many times before we know Jesus is our Savior, the storms that come up in our life are Him trying to get our attention, trying to draw us into a relationship with Him because He loves you. Because He does want to have a relationship with you. He does care about what's going on in your life. And you do not have to face the storms alone. If you face them alone, it's because you've chosen to face them alone. So here, God has some words to say to us and some things that will help us to find strength in the midst of whatever storms that we have. I'm not going to stand up in here and say, hey, if you love Jesus and you follow Him and you live for Him, you'll never have a storm in your life. Jesus didn't say that, and anybody that does is a false teacher and a false prophet. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He did say there would be storms. He did say there would be difficulties. So I'm not going to stand up here and say something different than what Jesus said, but hopefully as we take a look at this portion of Scripture, it will give you, it'll give me the strength that I need to make it through my storm. So here in Matthew chapter number 8, let's pick up at verse number 23. And in verse 23, I'm going to have you help me, okay? So either you have your Bible in front of you, or the verse will be on the screen there for you to follow along if you don't have your Bible with you. But I'm going to start to read this verse. And when I stop, I want you to loudly say the next word. Okay, so I'll pause long enough that you know I'm not just taking my breath after a comma or something. Okay, so you don't have to be embarrassed to call out the wrong word. Let's look at it together. Matthew 8:23 says, "And when he, Jesus, was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him." They followed him. Now, they were doing exactly what they were supposed to do. They were living the life. They're exactly with who they should have been with. In fact, in Matthew 4, verse number 19, I'm going to have you help me with another verse here. And let's just do the same thing. It says, "And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So this is in Matthew 4. We just read Matthew chapter number 8. So Jesus said, hey, I want you to follow me. That's the command that he gave them, is you follow me. And so one day in Matthew chapter number 8, Jesus goes and gets in a boat, and his disciples follow him. They're doing exactly what Jesus had told them to do. So one of the things I want you to see, in fact, I want you to get this so clearly, I'm having him put it up on the screen for you. It says this, just because you are following Jesus doesn't mean that you won't go through storms. And unfortunately, there's some people that teach that, and there's some people that believe that. And so when a storm comes up in their life, when they're struggling as a teenager with some things going on in their life, but they've heard somebody say, hey, as long as you're living for Jesus, you won't face storms. Well, now I'm in a storm. What does that mean for me? Or somebody has a broken home, but they've heard that if you follow Jesus, then you don't have trouble and you don't have problems and you don't have storms. But here I am in the greatest storm of my life. What does that mean for me? And having the wrong information can completely destroy our faith in our Savior. And so I think this is so important. I want you to understand it. If you take notes and you write things down, please write this down, that just because you are following Jesus doesn't mean that you won't go through storms. We all go through storms. His disciples were exactly where he told them to be. And yet, what happened? A storm came up. In Matthew 8:24, we've read verse number 23, how that Jesus got in the boat. His disciples followed him. Notice verse 24 says, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he, Jesus, was asleep." So they're with Jesus, and when they're with Jesus, this storm comes up. Now, for those of you that maybe aren't as familiar with the New Testament, with Jesus and his dealings with his disciples, many of the disciples that Jesus called to follow him, they were fishermen by trade. So we read that verse in Matthew 4:19, said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Jesus was saying, hey, you're not going to fish for fish any longer. We're going to change and we're going to transform your life. You're going to have a different purpose now. Instead of fishing for fish, you're going to fish for men. But what you need to understand is they live their life on the water. I have friends in the Gulf Coast that are commercial fishermen. And my friend Danny, I'm getting ready to go see him this week as we take these kids to camp. I'm going to spend some time with him next Sunday afternoon. But from the time that he was a small boy, he grew up on the fishing boat with his dad. And he only ever wanted to do one thing, and that was be a fisherman. He hated school. He thought it was a waste of time. I should be out on the boat catching fish. And when the time came, he got a boat and he began to fish for fish. He's been on, grew up on the water. These disciples grew up on the water, so they understood the storms. They understood the waves. This was not just an ordinary storm that came up that day. This is a storm that shook them to their cores. And there will be times in your life, and there'll be times in my life, that storms come up that absolutely shake us to the point where we may not feel like we're ever going to get out of this one. I don't know what's going to happen. And yes, they were doing what they were supposed to do. And yes, they were following Jesus. And yet here, one of the most life-threatening storms that they've ever faced comes upon them. Now skip down to verse number 26, because as we get in verse 26, Jesus shed some insight into what these disciples were feeling in that moment. The first part of verse number 26 of Matthew 8 says this, "He saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" So he asked the question, what are you afraid of? See, he gives some insight into what was going on down deep in their hearts. They were afraid. They allowed fear to destroy their faith. Now, they had seen Jesus do some great things already. They had watched him heal people. They had watched as a blind were given sight. They watched as people who had never walked before jumped up and were leaping and praising God and all this stuff. Never happened before, and yet Jesus did all these great things. But they allowed their fear to destroy their faith. And if we're not careful, if I'm not careful, you and I can do that too. Man, this health problem that I have, if I'm not careful, I can let the fear of death or the fear of whatever's going to happen to me destroy my faith in my Savior. And here's something else that I want you to see is to get this quote. If you don't get anything else out of what I say this morning, this is what I want you to get. Is don't let fear destroy your faith. Don't let fear destroy your faith. Now, there are times in our lives where we're facing these storms where, man, I'm uncertain, I'm unsure. And in those moments, that ought to cause us to flee to Jesus. And we'll get that in, down into that in one of the other messages on this topic. But many times, instead of turning to Jesus, we just let that fear and that worry just kind of fester inside of us. And before we know it, our faith has been completely crushed and destroyed. Teenager who's here, don't let your fear of the future destroy your faith in Jesus. He knows your end from your beginning. Just as clearly as you see the present, he sees what's going on later down in your life, and you don't have to let the fear of what's going to happen later on in your life destroy your future, destroy your faith. College student, don't let your financial fears and some struggles in classes destroy your faith. Jesus is the one who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can very easily take care of the needs that you and I have. He is the God who provides. We don't have to let the fear of those things destroy our faith in who he is. Seniors in here, don't let your fear of worthlessness destroy your faith in Jesus. You have great value to him. He values every single one of you. He sees where you are at in your life. He understands the storm and the inner turmoil that you are facing in this moment of your life. You have great value to him and great importance to him. And don't let that fear destroy your faith in your God that you followed for so long. Singles who are listening to the sound of my voice, don't let your fears of being alone or marrying the right person destroy your faith. Jesus is with you. I think of the promise that he gave to us where he said, I will never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. So don't let that fear destroy your faith in the God who is with you. Couples in here, don't let your fear of not being understood or valued in your relationship destroy your faith in Jesus. He's the one who reconciled all things to himself, and he can easily reconcile the issues that are going on in your relationship as well. Those of you who are divorced, don't let your fear of loneliness and brokenness destroy your faith in him. He is in the business of binding up the brokenhearted, of healing those wounds that are so deep and so painful that it feels like I'll never be able to get over it. I'll never find relief from it. I think about the God that you and I serve. What an amazing God that he is. And yes, you will go through storms. And I'm so thankful for a Savior that was open and honest with us. See, he's not looking for people just to follow him for following's sake. He wants a genuine relationship with us. And so he let us in on the information ahead of time So when we made the choice to follow him, we made the choice to give our lives to him and trust in him for salvation, we would have all that information in front of us. And he said, hey, you are going to have a hard time. It's a part of life. It's a part of the sin curse and our sin nature. And so we are going to go through those times. But in those dark moments, when the waves are crashing, when the winds are howling, don't let fear destroy your faith. Imagine what it would be like. And imagine what we could accomplish for the Lord Jesus Christ if instead of having fear in the storm, we trusted him in the storm. Imagine of how he could use us in the darkest moments of our life. That most difficult time when you're in the darkest storm you've ever been in. Imagine the witness that you and I can be if instead of fearing the storm, we embrace the storm. Knowing that it is through this storm God is going to do a great work in my life and through my life. You know, there's something quite interesting that happens as you're around certain things over time. You can get to the point where you don't fear them anymore. It's like somebody that doesn't live in a tornado area. Maybe some of you are still deathly afraid of tornadoes. Hey, that's on you. But if somebody who doesn't live in a tornado area, if they move to the Midwest where there's a lot of tornadoes, every time that siren goes off, man, they are freaking out. Get to the basement, all this stuff. Get away from the windows and all these safety precautions that they give you, and watch it at your own risk. But think about the earthquakes they've had this week in California. I've never been in an earthquake. I don't want to be in an earthquake. If the ground starts to shake from under me, I am pretty sure I would lose my mind. Because the ground is supposed to be stable, right? It's supposed to be safe, solid, secure. They've had a couple really bad earthquakes. But for some people in California, it's just like, no big deal. It's just a part of who we are. And I remember moving to the Gulf Coast and going through that very first hurricane, Hurricane Ivan, and how afraid I was. Because I really didn't know anything about it. I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought the worst. But over time, as I spent 8 or 9 years of my life down there, you kind of grow accustomed to hurricanes. In fact, tornadoes, you really don't have much warning. I mean, a tornado can be on you like that in a storm. Hurricane? You know about hurricanes days and weeks ahead of time. They tell you this storm is moving this way, and then it's funny as it gets closer. For those of you that maybe haven't lived in the Gulf Coast, they always put on these trackers. And basically, every tracker has it going somewhere else. No matter which, station you're watching, it's going here, it's going there, anywhere. As soon as it gets in the Gulf Coast, it basically could go anywhere. You don't really know. They try their best to guess. But you have days of notice. And it got to the point where they would say, hey, a hurricane's coming. No big deal. We board up the windows and fill the bathtub up with water in case we lose power for a few days. We need drinking water and all this stuff. And I remember we went through Ivan, we went through Dennis, and then Hurricane Katrina came along, and talked it over with my wife, and we decided we're not going to leave this time. We're just going to stay in our house. And so people were packing up and leaving town and doing all this stuff. And so we would spend the days over at a friend of ours' house and just kind of hanging out and whatever else. And then at night, we'd go back to our house and lost power and all those things. But it got to a point where a hurricane didn't really, it didn't bother me anymore. We'd prepared as much as we could, but it was just another storm that we were facing. And when we have faith in our God, we don't have to let these storms completely destroy our entire world. Don't have to let it destroy our faith. We can get to a point where we have confidence. We sang that song, Cornerstone, that in the storm, he is Lord of all. He is the God who controls the wind and the waves, and he controls and he's involved in everything that happens in my life. So I don't have to let fear destroy me. You don't have to let fear destroy your faith. You can have confidence that God sees you, that he knows what you're going through, he cares about what you're going through, and he longs to help you in the midst of your storm. And so whatever happens, as I mentioned, don't let fear destroy your faith.